Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm sitting here today on the bright red desk. And looks like Mark has just joined. Hi, Mark. You out there?
I'm out here, over by the Hudson River, across.
Over by the Hudson River. Very cool.
Yep.
I'm here at the Bright Red Desk on the east side. Mark's on the east by the East River. Mark's over by the Hudson River. We span Manhattan.
By the bright gray river.
By the bright gray river. We are not having Heather Rowan Robbins join us tonight because she is in travel mode. excuse me. Currently traveling the country.
New York.
So, but we do have
to New York
a lot going on in the heavens, so Mark and I will start. Mark, what have you noticed going on up there?
Well, we're going to have an equinox.
Yeah. And yep. Tell our listeners what that
and
means.
Egg on its head. Yeah. It's when days and nights are equal. So this is the fall equinox.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the start of a whole new season, the fall season.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like we're ready for it to start because it keeps being summer, at least in New York.
It was 80 today, 82. It was hot today. I was like, boy, it's a little warm.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, yeah.
Whenever,
so the sun goes across the equator, and the days in the upper hemisphere, the northern hemisphere, get a minute shorter. Every day, the night's a little longer. And in the southern hemisphere, our southern friends start spring. So it's a big transition.
Yep.
It's also kind of cool. It lets you can balance an egg that day, which is one of my favorite things. You can stand them up when the equinox happens. And it'll sit there for a little while, and about 20 minutes after the sun goes over the equator, it kind of rolls over again. Because at that moment, the Earth is perfectly balanced. And it's a wonderful thing. We also have a new moon this week. Say again?
Yeah.
What did you notice about the equinox chart? Anything draw your attention?
Well, it comes with a void moon.
Mm-hmm.
And the moon is in Leo, so it's a strong moon, and basically a happy-go-lucky moon all the way up until the last aspect, which is opposite to Saturn. And then the moon is kind of adrift as the sun goes into Libra. So it's kind of like the moon has a happy time and sees some difficulty and turns it over to the sun. So it's okay, your party.
Yeah, it's like we're ready. Yeah, and the moon just had gone void. It's just a little smidgy void. And that day we also have Mercury combust the sun. The sun, rather, which is a really super, super strong Mercury. So that's kind of an important. Mercury's also on a world point and still retrograde. And then the next day, Mercury goes into Virgo. He's retrograde going backwards. So he goes back into Virgo after he goes over the sun. So it's an interesting time for news. I generally find those are big news days. And also that fall ingress has Jupiter opposite it. The Sun and Mercury are opposite Jupiter in Aries, so it promises to be pretty interesting in terms of news and information. And we still have the nodes of fate on the world's point, where they've been for a while. So that's why we're having all this big news that's worldwide, you know, with Queen Elizabeth and with, you know, kind of this changes and things coming to light that everybody goes, oh, what's going on? So it's kind of cool. But when you see that moon in Leo approaching the sun, what kinds of things do you say to people with it being void? But also the sun in the chart cast for Washington is in the fifth house of children and creativity and ideas. So what kinds of things are you thinking will experience or notice? Because the sun is also on a world point, which makes everybody pay attention to what's going on in the news that day, too.
Yeah, and actually the moon in Leo is conjunct Ceres, the asteroid Ceres. And I'm going to look for news about food and feeding food shelter, food, you know, helping people to deal with hunger.
Right.
Also crops.
Well, and we are having a lot of noise about, you know, food shortages and, you know, information, you know, because Ukraine was the breadbasket of, you know, the world. I mean, it was, that was its nickname.
Yeah.
So food and eating and understanding them, yeah. And the sun's in Leo's, the moon's in Leo's sign, so he's answering to that sun in Libra, talking to us about how we're going to partner with, yeah. We also have Mercury opposite Neptune. Say again?
We may see some new initiatives towards feeding and dealing with hunger, which would be welcomed.
Yes. Because that's part of the story. Also, the Venus opposite Neptune, which is its Neptune in Pisces. So that's kind of an activating energy, too. Part one, it takes us back to the energy of April 12th when Jupiter and Neptune met at 23-degree Pisces. So if you had this great idea last spring about what you wanted to do for the next 13 years of your life, now Venus is coming to oppose that Neptune and saying, okay, you ready? You ready to go do it? So we have these bigger cycles when the planets meet up, and Jupiter and Neptune is a lot about working for your dream. And so if you look at where 23 Pisces is in your chart, that energy of creation and dreaming and expansion is really strong. And with Venus operating opposite it, she's going to invite it to step forward and do something that it hadn't maybe done before. So, or like making practical plans for how to get to that next chapter. So that's kind of a cool aspect that we're having this
week. Especially strong for artistic interest.
Mm-hmm.
Music, dance. Any ideas can come out and be received.
Right. Kind of really encouraging. And also there's a grand trine in Earth with the Venus in Virgo trining the Pluto and also trining the Uranus. So that energy is, you know, we've had that Uranus-Pluto trine have been going all year, but we're having it more, you know, like what are you practically going to make? And also with Uranus having out with the node, the North Node, what are you breaking free from to go towards, right? So I think you're right about the images and the ideas and kind of sketching it out. You know, I was teaching this weekend, and one of the people came over and had a notebook, you know, a plain white book that she'd been drawing in, and she'd drawn the speeches, you know, that the astrologers were given. She had colored pencils, so the different speeches that everybody gave as, you know, her in artistic impressions of them to remember the speech rather than taking notes, right? And it happened to be a double Pisces, right? So, but I was like, wow, that, you know, that's my speech, you know, I saw the drawing for mine. But it's an interesting energy of listening to dreams too. Have you been finding people reporting to you that dreams are really kind of off the wall lately?
Yeah, pretty surrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
Which is they're supposed to be, but we don't always remember them that way.
Right. Yeah, where they really activate us and go, wow, that's an interesting dream, or we have images or stories, you know. Also, because it's Mercury retrograde, you know, I had, and Venus is ruling, Mercury rather is ruling Venus, I've had a few people talk to me about, you know, talking to their dead relatives during dreams, you know, that they were just kind of connecting in with them and having conversations with them about the dream, you know, talking to them about what went on in the family, or, you know, saying to them, hey, you know, now go do this. So, you know, so Mercury retrograde, which we still have for a few more days, encourages us to listen to them, you know, talk to our ghosts, whether they're physical or in our memory, you know. So I was thinking about someone I hadn't thought about since I was 19, which is a while ago. Mm-hmm. And I decided I'd look them up, you know, on the internet, because, you know, you can find a lot of things on the internet. And she passed away in 2018. But, you know, it was the fall of 1975, and it was a really transformative relationship for me, you know, kind of helped direct my career, frankly, and through my interaction with her. So it was really interesting to see that she had passed, you know, but she was on my mind. So I was like, all right, let me go find her. So do that, too. You know, like, you may be thinking about something, buddy, that you haven't thought about in a while. And, you know, go look them up. You know, go see what's going on in their world. I think I would have written her if she was still alive, but she's not here anymore. So, but yeah, I think it's really interesting because Mercury is retrograde, but it's also ruling Mars in Gemini, and Mars in Gemini is running into people from before, or, you know, in this case, you know, the conference I talked on Sunday over the weekend was meeting people I had never met before, obviously, you know, that's always a feature of those things. But, you know, people that I'd talked to or worked with over the phone or in Facebook or whatever. So it was kind of interesting to meet people. And this is an important connection time, too, because the nodes are on world points. So the people that are coming in or going out can really feel like, gee, you're somebody, you know, I should get to know. And also on the Libra ingress, there are three mystic rectangles in the sky. That's a lot of mystic rectangles. So they have an energy of fadedness, and the mystic rectangles are in earth and water, which is fadedness of what am I going to create? You know, what's my next creative journey? So I find them interesting. They consist of two trines and two sextiles and two oppositions. So they make you feel kind of invited or driven or inspired. And there's also a few fingers of God in the sky, which also lead us places. You know, there's a lot of quincunxes in the sky this week, which are adjusting energies, but they're kind of helping us adjust our path or adjust our direction and kind of say, well, you know, what's really important to you? And being able to focus on that, I think, helps a lot with this energy. So.
Yeah, there can be a kind of hesitancy.
Can be a lot of kind of what? Say it again.
Hesitancy.
Yeah.
So feeling hesitant and a little bit not quite sure how to use that energy, it's best to give it a little try and then see if it'll sail on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't, you've at least learned that.
Right.
But it's kind of
and
like...
if it does... Yeah,
making a little bit better
like,
shape for a paper
yeah.
airplane. Mm-hmm. You know, you fold it, you fly it, you say, oh, I think I should make the wing a little wider. So you fold a different one, you fly it, see how that works.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of energy that's out there.
Right, right. That kind of a connecting space, Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that to your point is try it this way and how's that work and then try it that way. And I could do this little tweak here. You know, it's tweaky energy. Inconjuncts are tweaky.
Yeah.
Quincunxes are tweaky. They kind of say, well, I think I should do this, you know, and then you do it and you're like, well, that's not quite what I'm looking for, but, you know, what would that next piece be? And I think when we stand in that space, it helps a bit, you know, to get us to the where we're headed. You know, so and also music, very, very big time with the Neptune so active. You know, of course, it's been sextile Pluto, you know, and that's been for the whole, you know, century. But right now it's being
yeah.
very activated by planets and really kind of encouraging us to, you know, think about the bigger picture, the bigger dream, which is always, you know, what that next new piece is. And we're also having a hammer of Thor with Venus and Mars in a square and with Pluto as the handle. So that's been a little bit, I don't want to say disconcerting, but it's been a little bit recognizing, well, this isn't what I want to do. I think I want to go over here. And I think the thing to remember with Mars and Gemini, too, is that you always have to do everything twice, do it two times. I heard from one of my good friends, Gemini's son. He's in his 30s. He goes, "What is going on?" Question mark. And I'm like, "Oh, well, you know, Mercury's retrograde, and you are, you know, he's a Gemini sun, Jupiter in Gemini, right? So, you know, when Mercury goes retrograde, his chart goes a little wild. But he's also a Gemini, so he's got Mars on his stuff, right? So he has a termite infestation into this new place that he and his wife rented. And he's, you know, the landlord, you know, forwarded an email where they were carbon, basically calling them kind of complaining tenants. But, you know, they've got bugs in their house, right? So... So I pulled up the spirit. I said to him, "Well, you know, termites are actually a Gemini bug." And he's like, "Why?" And I said, "Because they work in colonies. They work with their friends. You know, they kind of attack projects as a team, in a teamwork thing. You know." And then I pulled up, you know, the spiritual significance of termites. Right? Like when you have a termite infestation, what you're supposed to do about it. So I don't know that it was comforting or not, but but he was like, "Termites are spiritually significant." I'm like, "Well, you know, it's a symbol. You know, you got a lot of termites in your new house. What is it? You know, what's it saying about, you know, your collaborative efforts and you're working hard to accomplish something, you know, in their case, eating your house up." But so he was a little nonplussed by that. But, you know, it's what happens when you email your astrologer, Suro Mom,
right.
You know. She goes, "Well, it's a spiritually significant message from the universe. You should pay attention to it." And, of course, he has the sun, Jupiter, and Gemini down in his fourth house, right? So, and they had looked, and they really found this really pretty place that they really loved, except, you know, it has termites. So.
Yeah.
And, of course, Mars, I didn't want to say to him, you know, "You might move a couple times," because he's like, "We may have to move." I'm like, "Well, I didn't want to say, you know, you might have to move a couple times between now and March."
Exactly.
Right, you don't want to, end of March, you don't want to get him too excited. So, but, yeah, that's good. We also have a new moon this week. Huh? Say again.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, two Libra.
Yeah, two Libra. So what do you think about that? New moon.
That's an exciting set of things going on, because a lot of the other planets are active as the moon moves through Libra. It starts early in Libra, of course, second degree, so there's a long ways to go. It's a big story.
Yeah.
And this story includes Venus trining Pluto, Mercury conjuncting Venus, the Sun opposite
Mercury
Jupiter,
retrograde conjuncting Venus, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a whole story going on around, and I think it's going to open up a lot of things. It should be really exciting, actually. It should bring some excitement.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's a nice one because, you know, it's right after the Venus has gone past the Neptune, so we really see things. And it also has Mars coming in. He's not in a tight square, but he's approaching, you know, a square to the Venus, Mercury, Neptune, so he's forming what we call a T-square, which shoots his energy off into the Sagittarius house. So, because Mars is at 18 Gemini on the full moon, or the new moon, rather. So, yeah. It's an interesting week, I think. You know, it's one of those weeks where we feel like it's going to go, I feel like it's going to go really quickly, right, because the moon is basically moving, you know, through the personal signs. You know, it's in, it goes through Gemini, Libra, and then, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, and then Virgo, and then the Sun, the new moon on the Sun. So it's in the personal planets where we're really thinking about what we want personally. It's also the dark of the moon, where it's inviting us to think about what that new chapter is. And then we go rolling into October, and we head towards eclipse season, right? So this new moon kind of, this new moon says, the eclipses are coming, the eclipses are coming. So that's always fun because there's an eclipse on October 25th at 2 Scorpio, and then there's an eclipse on November 18th. So actually, I guess not yet because we have to get to the full moon in Libra Aries, and then the eclipses are coming. But they are, it's at 2 degrees, the new moon, the new eclipse. The eclipse on October 25th is 2 Scorpio, and it's the same degree as the new moon, this week, so that kind of whispers. So we're getting intimations of what's happening. So kind of fun. So anything else you want to say about the week that you noticed that was exciting?
No, I think that pretty well covers it. But there's a lot of activity.
Yep, yep. Okay, so let's maybe take a caller.
Don't miss out.
Yeah. Huh? Say again?
Don't miss out, I'm saying.
Yeah, don't miss out, right? Okay, all right, so here we go. I'll pick a caller up, 901-364. You're on the air. How can we help?
Hi, how are you all this evening?
Hi, this is good. We're good. How are you? This is Memphis Lady, right?
Yes, it is. This is Sylvia in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hi, Sylvia. What's up with you? Always good to hear from a retrograde Mercury on a retrograde Mercury, right? Yeah.
A retrograde Mercury. Oh, okay. Well, I am trying to get some clarity.
Okay. What's your birth info, Sylvia? So let's pop it in there. Yep.
Okay. 4461. Thank you all for taking my call as well.
Yeah, no worries. Okay, good. And time?
5:51 a.m.
And Memphis, right?
Yeah, Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah. Okay, and what's your question today?
I'm trying to get some clarity or information about my son that's in my 12th house, but it's on the cups. I don't remember if it's 10 degrees or 15 degrees.
Yeah, your son's 14 and your ascendant's 15, yeah.
Okay.
So you're trying to understand what the sun in the 12th means?
Yeah, especially since mine is on the cups.
Well, it means first you were born right at sunrise, right? So that's always an important thing to remember. You're born like a minute after sunrise or 2 minutes after sunrise. The degree on the ascendant changes every 4 minutes. And so when we have the sun as an angle, it tends to be an active placement. It tends to have us see things. When it's in the 12th house, it means we need a little bit more private time. A little bit more working. A lot of times we work behind the scenes in some kind of service capacity. The 12th house is hospitals, it's nursing homes, it's nonprofits, it's, you know, institutions that take care of people. So it's got an energy of being behind the scene and kind of a lot of times working behind the scenes where you're going to be in a position where you're going to do the work and other people will go, oh, wow, that's really great, but it won't necessarily have your name on it. And then it also, we look at the house it rules, and in your case it rules the 5th house of creativity and ideas, and you have that Sun-Uranus trine in your 5th house. So that means you kind of have a lot of creative ideas about how to do things and new directions and ideas. Because we go, okay, you're here as an Aries, you're supposed to initiate things, right? But your son's in a Pisces house, so it's supposed to initiate things quietly behind the scenes. Often gives an aptitude for music or art or some kind of creative. And then with the trine to Uranus ruling the 5th house of creativity, that's the chart going, okay, I have to bring creative things out to other people for me to really feel like I'm fulfilling my life purpose. Mark, what do you think about with the suns in the 12th?
Look, the sun in the 12th? Yeah, it's
sun in
actually...
the 12th, Mary.
Sorry? Oh, yeah, sun in the 12th in Aries. One of the things you run into is it squares your Mars in Cancer, and that can leave you frustrated at trying to get things going and sort of retreating. It's kind of a retreat energy, and you want to be careful not to let that overwhelm the sun trine Uranus, which says, do your own thing and get it out there. So you kind of have those conflicts going on with that sun. But once you sort of put your shoulder into the rolling ball, you can really make it move with this square to Mars.
Right.
It's just you have to work up the steam. But once you decide and really throw your momentum into it, things will move.
Right.
So don't stop just short.
Okay, so since I have a grand water trine with, so what if
with your moon,
I
your Mars and your Mercury, yep.
Moon, Mars, and Mercury. Okay, moon,
yes,
moon, Mars, Mercury. Yes, I had to click light bulb. So as far as using my spiritual gifts, because I'm thinking like, short version, I'm looking and still looking for employment. And I'm going like, okay, so I have the psychic gifts, spiritual gifts. Would that be a great idea to look into them where I can do a twofold, I can be of service, and that would be, I guess, a business for me where I can have steady income, because I looked at my 10th house and the 4th house, and it's like I want financial security and financial stability. So I'm like, will doing that, looking into that, tapping into that, and then start using that, again, be of service, and bring an income, you know, to
I think it definitely has a component of helping that happen. Remember, the whole thing with the grand trine in water is the water always takes the shape of the container it's in, right? So if it's a tall vase or a wide vase or a big pot, right? So the whole thing with the grand trine in water is making sure that it's got a stable container for it. So you would, you know, to do that, I would say, yes, that's a good idea, but find a place that's stable for you to go to that would, people would go, oh, you know, Sylvia's going to be there on Tuesdays, so I'm going to go do that, because that helps your chart manifest well. If it's not stable, it can be a little runny, you know, like water is. It seeks. So that's an important component. But right now, with Mars in Gemini in your second house, you're coming up with ideas for employment that you want to go forward with, you know, what that looks like. And you also have, you're starting a new 8-year money cycle in October, around October 21st, when the Sun Venus meet at 28 Libra and they're squaring your Saturn. So there should be, you know, I mean, I know conventional employment, you know, is always, you know, here's the paycheck. But, you know, you do have strong psychic abilities, plus your progressive moons in Pisces now, in going into your 12th house, which is really focusing on, okay, well, this is my spiritual work, let me do this. But that 12th house has a lot of potency in it. So you're having the new moon, which starts an 8, or the Sun-Venus conjunction, which starts an 8-year cycle, and you were born, you know, you're born right near a Venus star point in Aries, which gives the chart needing an ability to do its own thing. You know, it has, like, I'm supposed to do what I need to do. So I like that as an idea, but it's important for you to find a container that makes the chart feel stabilized to build. Does that make sense?
Also, it'll help you to think of yourself as an initiator.
Yeah.
You know, and you help people work with their ideas, get something going, and you're not the kind who sticks around for the credits. You have your input at the beginning and let other people carry it forward.
Mm-hmm.
And you can work with people in that way. So
you
can kind of be the leader of the think tank.
Oh, so thank you. When you said find a container, will you give me another example? And like,
well, just
one
think
example.
Of water. You know, what happens with water if it doesn't have a container? It spills and it doesn't hold shape. Right. And so the ruler, you know, your idea is, okay, I'm going to do this work to provide some stability and foundation for me. That's the Mars in Cancer. But the moon in Scorpio needs to have a structure. You know, Scorpio moons, which rules the Mars, say, hey, you know, what's your foundation you're building on here? Right. So finding a place where you can do that work, perhaps in public or perhaps out in the world somewhere, is helpful, or perhaps finding a mentorship program that works with people, you know, and saying, okay, you know, this is one of the things I can offer you know, guidance along this, or finding some, you know, because 12th house is also spiritual, finding some kind of 12th house spiritual place where you can offer it from, you know, so that that gives you, you know, when Sylvia coming back, well, Sylvia's here on Tuesdays, think of it as a place where you're going to feel that you can go and get structure yourself, which will help the chart find the stability it's looking for. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That little better definition?
Yeah, I think, and then I'll go back and re-listen to this as well. I like to take notes. I think that's my Virgo.
I'm going,
I think I'm going to have to go back and just listen,
yeah.
You know, re-listen to the show. Mm-hmm. And if
I mean, you're ready. You're ready for stuff, you know, and also you've got really good aspects for finding ways to make money right now. So, you know, following those ideas and saying, okay, let's go with those. All right, so we're at the end of the show, so we're going to sign off from the Bright Red Desk. It's Ann Ortley hanging up here and going to bed. I'm a little tired. I'm going to hop in bed. Mark?
Okay. Yeah, same story here over by the bright gray river.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you like the view? Is it nice?
Yeah, and you see New Jersey.
That's beautiful. All right.
Okay.
Well, good. Well, we wish everybody a good week with all the new moon energy. Yeah. So, and we'll be back next week. Take care, all. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye now.